World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Well, I finally watched that Richie Incognito video with the audio. You know, I mean, I've been watching this damn thing with the sound down for days. I don't know what he said, man. I can't understand anything he's saying. But according to TMZ, which sounds like, you know, TMZ is fantastic. TMZ has trivialized everything to the point that even the N-word, you know, being freely used in, because did you see the report?
Well, the reporter for TMZ, I think I know who that was. I think that's Dwayne Fondell.
I don't know. How do you know it's Dwayne Fondell?
Sounds like him.
Well, this cat is on TMZ,
and that is Richie Incognito.
This is the way the guy sounded.
That's Richie Incognito. Is it ever okay to use the N-word?
That's exactly. He sounded like a cartoon character. And, you know, and TMZ knows that they have these kind of cartoony-sounding guys, and everything on that channel is now just one big fat cartoon, you know, and maybe that's the way it ought to be, but please don't get, you know, upset if somebody starts rolling the N-word with the kind of wild abandon that Richie Incognito was using. Even though there were black teammates, or there were people in the bar. It was a pool hall in Fort Lauderdale, and Incognito comes in. The guy's all, you know, he looks like a typical, whatever he is, linebacker, defensive lineman. He's got the big guns, and he's got a big chest, big shoulders, and a big fat gut. And he's running around the bar there and talking about Mike Pouncey, who he was in the bar with.
Now, who's that?
One of his teammates. And calling Pouncey the N-word. I don't know. I don't know what his thing was, you know. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of guys that are, that's how they fire themselves up with all kinds of insanity. You know, they try to play like they're nuts, but that dude, you know, that guy is the reason why people think of roid rage. I'm not saying that that's what he's got, but it's,
Yeah, you don't know if that guy's on roids or he's just being crazy.
A lot of guys are crazy like that. Or they act like they're crazy.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, they're not really crazy. They're just going into that... what do you guys call it? That cray-cray act?
Yeah, the guy's cray-cray.
Okay. Anyway, but the guy on TMZ was the guy I'm talking about.
Yes, this is Richie Incognito. Why, is it ever okay to use the N-word?
Is it ever okay? Wow, man, you guys are really getting me to think. Thank you very much, TMZ, for those thought-provoking moral dilemmas. Is it ever really okay? Because you guys are, man... You guys, every time I see TMZ attached to a story, I'm thinking, yeah, I know it's news, but it's much more than news. It's news at about, at 11, you know, like the Spinal Tap joke. Turn it up to 11, man. All right, speaking of football, we have with us a guy that we haven't heard from in a long time, and not that he's been away or avoiding us, but that there just hasn't been any football season. And he's holding forth as well over at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Sounds like there must be some kind of a convention going on over there, or at least a meeting of the tribes or something. Jack I. Gagner with us here in Los Angeles, down from Milwaukee, where you live, Jack, I understand, year-round, right?
Exactly right, Bill, and we spend most of our time in Milwaukee. We also have a lake house up there, but I've been around about here on the coast right now, is looking into some different opportunities business-wise, including this game of the week that your website is doing with Bozell and with Mr. Dickman there.
And how is Brett Morrison, your partner?
Yeah, Brett's doing okay. He's got a deal. I think he's going to be calling some of the games on radio for the NFL. He's going to be doing some color commentating on that, which I think is pretty interesting. He'd never been in the NFL himself. He played, was a coach and a player in Dickman America. But
so tell me what happened with the Milwaukee Lions and...
the Lions and all the teams in Dickman America were, struggling. I mean, they had good crowds and they had good attendance, but never enough money either from television revenue or from radio rights or from advertising or merchandise, never enough money to support the kinds of operations these teams wanted to have, to sign some players that were going to cost a little bit of money. This last season became a particularly problematic, this season I should say right now, 2013, became particularly problematic. You had an owner in Utah that was already exhibiting signs of some kind of a dementia. And this man, who had been a silver miner, understand that this elderly gentleman had been a silver miner.
What's the guy's name?
He's the owner. He was the owner of the Utah Flaming Cavalry. They went to the Dickman Bowl.
I remember this man. He was interviewed on one of your broadcasts.
That's right. I don't remember his name right now, and I don't have any research assistance here or help to.
Can we look it up online, bud?
Yeah.
But anyway, this guy came out of a silver mine, half mad, but with enough money to buy a football team, and that's what he did. He spent most of last season, 2012, traveling the world with this Playboy model that he had as a girlfriend. You know, Playboy shut down, I guess, so he was taking some of these models off their hands over there. But the point being they wound up going to the Dickman Bowl, and this guy, by the time they went to the Dickman Bowl and we was doing interviews and stuff, he was half mad with some kind of silver disease or something in the brain.
Well, that's from breathing, what was it, molten silver?
I don't know.
And what do you mean he was taking Playboy bunnies off of their hands?
Well, I mean, the Playboy magazine was shutting down. So it was like a fire sale on Playboy bunnies.
Well, you don't mean literally buying them.
No. I'm just saying, you know, they're looking for something to do.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah. So there was that. And then you had just a lot of bad blood around the league for a variety of reasons. And the Miami franchise was having problems. They had a name change. They had a venue change. They were playing their football games at a place that used to be a bowling ground for senior citizens. It was bad. And then the Tampa franchise, the Gator Bait, they were playing in a stadium that was right at the end of a runway in Clearwater, and they almost had a plane crash in the middle of a football game.
So it's a typical situation with a lot of these leagues that are operating on a wing and a prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. A wing and a prayer. I like that. I like that.
You like what?
The plane almost crashed in... Oh,
yeah. No, I wasn't trying to make a joke.
No. But I'd like it just come out that way anyway. So I think that all in all, it was a really disastrous start. And so they decided to take this season off and make another run at it, I guess.
You had a problem, and I'm loath to bring this up, but you said you were willing to talk about it, Jack. You had a problem mid-season with the owner of the Lions?
Right. The person that owns the team is a woman by the name of Edna. She bought the ball club from Bruce Fryer, the guy that I knew who had owned the team and had hired me, and then she bought the ball club. Her name's Edna Gerber. And she had a kid by the name of Touch Gerber that was foisted on us during the season. We had to have this kid in the booth. He was supposed to be a spotter. He never spotted anything. I don't think I got one bit of information from him having to do with what was going on in the field. He was out getting ice cream. He's off getting a hot dog.
And we would hear the games, and you were quite vocal with how bad a job he was doing.
Yeah, we're talking about Touch Gerber ain't here, Touch Gerber this, that, something else.
Oh, no, yeah, I'm not denying it. I was very upset with having, first of all, I was upset with the fact that she forced this kid on us. And I told Lou Gooch, who was our producer, and Lou and I had, we threw fists on each other during one of the games. I told him, I said, I don't want this kid in my booth. I threw him out of the booth, I don't know how many times, he comes crawling back in.
You're throwing him out of the front of that booth and down about three flights of stairs, right?
That's right, figuring that would stop him. No, I turn around, and he's crawling through the door of the press box, and he's still there. And so what happened, it all culminated in one of the games where, you know, Mrs. Gerber was up there with her son, and I went crazy.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. What you did is what you did.
Well, what was that, Phil? I mean, you got a bunch of people out there want to know what it was.
Well, you assaulted both of them in a sexual way.
Okay, what do you want from me?
Are you kidding me?
Miss Gray, you must have heard about it. It was in all the papers.
I didn't hear of any such thing.
Well, I did. You know, I said, you know, I've had it. Both of you, well...
And there was a whole thing worked out, I guess, subsequent to that?
Yeah, I was allowed to finish out the season. But here's the thing. You can't prove that what it was an assault, because she called me that night and asked me out for a drink to, quote, talk about it. And I went to my attorney. I said, so what's going on here? He says, maybe... You wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about it because I wanted to clear the air on this thing. And I don't know. I don't know what happened, but it was...
I told you what happened, and it was on the air.
Well, it was one of the more unseemly events. Let's take a break. We're on with Jack Gagner, the former play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions, who were on our website, those games. You can still actually hear the podcast if you visit us at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back. We've got a lot more to talk to you about, a lot more to discuss, a lot more to do. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. After the show, check out our homepage, and you'll see a show log posted. Good, bad, or in between, man. We always have a log about the show, and it's posted right there. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, there is a podcast of our show available to our subscribers. There is always a classic podcast drawn from the 5,000 hours of archive material. So we got it going on. Jack Gagner on the phone with us here from here in the city of L.A. He's at Ted's in Beverly Hills. Jack was the play-by-play guy with the Milwaukee Lions. If you go on site, you can see that we have the Lion podcast there as well. So people at least will be able to enjoy you, Jack, if you guys aren't back anytime soon. Is there any plan for, and I know that the season was suspended for 2013 for a variety of reasons. You've worked out your problems with Edna Gerber.
And I want to say one other thing, Phil, to that end. I think it needs to be said that her son, Tutch Gerber, this kid that I'd had this problem with during a regular season, and this kid that was, as I said, he was forced upon myself and Brett. We had to deal with him. We had to use him. He was a spotter.
And he didn't do the job.
He didn't do the job at all. He was out every time I was looking for a play, every time I was looking for a jersey number or a name, he's off getting hot dogs or something. When I finally made an issue out of it, that's when his mother walks into the booth, and that's when we had the situation. But I found out something subsequent, which also played into the fact that I'm going to make a statement for you right now, Phil, that Edna Gerber will be gone from the Milwaukee Lions before Jack Gagner. And I found out, and the reason why I was reminded of it was because of this guy that's the mayor of Toronto, Canada. Have you been reading about this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Rob Ford, is that it?
Yeah, well, Tutch Gerber has been a rockhead from way back, and I found out about that.
Oh, my God, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. This kid's had, he's been sucking on a glass pipe for as long as probably for as long as he's been sucking on anything, and I found out about that, and I went to Rocco, who was the head of communications, and he's a real ass, this Rocco, and they put that guy in there too.
Is he still running things there?
Yeah, well, he's been kicked downstairs, and Brett's going to take, if we ever do get back on the air, Brett's going to take over the communication, which I think is fantastic. But here's the thing, I went to this guy Rocco and I said, this kid's a rockhead, this Gerber. He said, you will not repeat that to nobody. This guy is talking to me like I'm some gopher, right? I'm Jack Gagner. I said to this guy, I've been around Milwaukee sports for a long time. He said, well, you will not. He's giving me this thing. He's reading me the riot act, you know? And I said, Rocco, come on, you're making me laugh. I said, this kid, Tutch Gerber, is smoking crack, literally. And he said, well, you're smoking crack of you. I said, I happen to know because I happen to know the cop that arrested him.
So you got a hold of his arrest record or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I said, you got to do a better job, Rocco, of covering this stuff up for the team because this kid's arrest record is a matter of public record. He's a crackhead, and he's the son of the team owner. And I never heard another word about her coming into the booth, him coming into the booth, anything I was alleged to have done, nothing else. That was the end of that. And the next thing I know, they're off at an owner's meeting, and they suspended the season.
Well, you don't think that, and this is really kind of, you don't think that the league suspended operation because they had this kind of a problem in multiple forms?
What do you mean by that? Like with other teams?
I'm saying, did they have other unseemly and scandalous news that they had to deal with?
I don't know. I don't think so. And even if they did, I don't think that's going to stop a football. I think the thing that stopped the football season is they don't have the money. They just ain't got the money. So we'll see about next year, 2014. But if not, you know, we'll turn up doing something else. But this Tutch Gerber, and I was willing to work with this kid, but he's a lazy SOB, sucking down hot dogs, shoving that cotton candy into his kisser like there ain't no tomorrow. And then when he's not doing that, he's blasting up and the other thing that I had a problem with, and I think you probably heard and some of the fans heard, there was a kid out behind the booth on a skateboard.
Yeah, I heard that. Every home game.
Every home game. You could hear this kid on the skateboard going up and down the ramp. And I would say to this Tutch Gerber, I said, hey, why don't you do something constructive? Go out there and kick that kid's ass. Get him out of here or something. And he's like, yeah, okay, Mr. Igagdor, I'm right on it, sir. And then I wouldn't see him for a half an hour. He'd come back with like two boxes with a chili dog and a chili fries. And he's got, oh, man.
All right, well, you know what? All's well that ends well, man. I doubt seriously, as you said, you'll be dealing with him anymore. I think it's all uphill from here.
Hey, you know what? Your lips to God's ears. Or your lips to my... Well, never mind. I don't want to make a joke.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty good, Mr. Igagdor.
I'm sorry, Phil. I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Well, you know, in mixed company, not such a great idea.
Well, I pulled that joke out at the owner's meeting. Somebody said, your lips to God's ears. And I said, well, I'd much prefer your lips to my, you know, blank, blank. And I turn around, guess who said it? It was Edna Gerber. So I can't win for losing.
You got to be kidding. You didn't hear that it was a woman talking?
I knew it was a woman. I didn't know it was Gerber. And so she's blah, 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 blah. And, well, you know, and the guy says something. She says, well, your lips to God's ears. And I said, I turn around, I go, hey, let me tell you what, your lips to my, and then I saw it was Gerber, and I went, oh, holy God. You know, I almost got sick.
Okay, Jack, thank you.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks very much, Jack. I gagged her.
What a disgusting man he is.
Are you kidding me? Mr. I Gagger's the best.
He's colorful, let's put it that way.
Yeah, he's colorful.
I think he is absolutely disgusting. And to make a joke like that, and to get away with what he got away with, because her son is a crack cocaine addict, I think it's a tragedy. I don't think there's anything funny about it.
There probably isn't anything funny about it, but the way Jack tells it, it's hysterical.
Yeah, no kidding. Your lips to...
Don't you dare say it.
All right, okay, never mind. So there's Jack Igagdor. We will find out whether we have a football season next year with the Milwaukee Lions or not. It was kind of a drag, but you can get all of the 2012 season. It's available at philhendryshow.com. All of the games from the preseason all the way on through the playoffs. Jack was the play-by-play guy for the Dickman Bowl, as well as some of the playoff games. So it's there at philhendryshow.com. All right, we're going to come back and clean up some of the dregs of the news today, some of the odds, some of the ends, some of the weirdness. We're going to pick up where it all left off. We're going to try and get out a dustpan. We're going to try and sweep some of the filth into that pan. In other words, let's just, you know, talk about stuff, huh?
Well, I've got a couple of things I want to get off my chest, and it has to do with our appearance this weekend.
I don't want to talk anymore about your club date.
So you're going to let the smell of love just linger in the air. Get it?
So I'm not allowed to joke about this stuff.
Oh, give me a break, Phil.
All right, anyway, we will be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with more right after this. As I said, visit us at philhenryshow.com. You can get the background on all of this swill.
I was the third brother of five. You still have a minute and 40 seconds.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, you got a minute 40.
Well, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
Well, turn the music down. Why did I start early?
I don't know.
And what is it with you? I still have...
Wait a minute. You said I got a minute 40 left.
Well, now you have less.
Yeah.
And then you said I still have 1 minute. Are you all right?
I'm fine. I somehow misread the clock. I apologize. We have a little bit of extra time, so forgive me. I thought we were going to a break here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to get back to what it was I wanted to discuss here coming outside of the break or after the break, among this stuff that we want to talk about is this Richie Incognito and this Martin thing and the fact that this guy is now suspended. And the raging, crazed scene in that bar is not even the beginning of this story. The beginning of this story has to do with this so-called hazing scandal or this hazing incident that took place with the Miami Dolphins on a kid by the name of Martin by Incognito. So we're going to talk about that and more. We come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the hazing scandal.
Well, I don't understand why there's still hazing in the National Football League. Isn't this a big grown-up league?
Yes, it is.
It's not Pop Warner.
No, it isn't Pop Warner. It's a big grown-up league. And
don't think crazy.
All right, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, all right, so we got our act together now.
Well, I never had my act not together.
All right, but Miami Dolphins workplace bullying has the nation talking. Right there, that's a headline that's horse dung right there. The nation isn't talking about the Miami Dolphins workplace bullying. The media is talking about the Miami Dolphins workplace bullying. They must be talking about the nation of media. See, that's one of the problems we got.
What are you talking about?
Yes.
What I'm saying is, it's interesting to talk about the Miami Dolphin workplace, quote, bullying, but nobody in the country is looking on it as a workplace bullying issue. Nobody in the country is looking on it like that.
Well, how are they looking on it then?
They're looking on it as a football team with a bunch of big guys that are pushing around the younger guys, and that's what they do. You know, it's like a hazing slash rookie, you know, veteran thing. It's got nothing to do with it. Nobody in America can relate to the National Football League as a workplace. That's for starters, okay? I don't care who you are, unless, you know, you're a professional football player or someone who's really heavy into the entertainment business. The fact is, it's an experience so far beyond what the rest of us are used to. We're not looking at it as a workplace thing. Now, most of us, if we have an opinion about it, we'll go ahead and just go along with whatever these clowns are talking about on television. We don't know.
Well, Phil, I think that you are not giving people...
You don't know what you're talking about, neither.
I don't know what I'm talking about, neither.
No, you're just going along. You're just talking because you need to.
I had to belt you in the...
Hey, watch it, okay?
What is that supposed to mean? I'm talking because I need to.
You don't have an opinion about it.
Well, what's your opinion about it, Margaret? Seriously.
My opinion about what, the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah.
That they're wrong in allowing this man, this slob... Let me tell you something, Phil, because I can look at a television set just as easily as anyone else, and this Incognito, whatever or whoever he is, I don't care if he's a football player... I don't care if he's a professional bowler. It doesn't matter to me if he's an archaeologist. He looks like a slob. You know what I mean by that?
Yes.
He looks like a dirty, rotten, filthy slob. And what you do with something like that, in my opinion, my father used to say, you put a bullet into it.
Oh, man, Margaret.
You asked me a question.
Whoa! I'm not asking... Take it easy, will you?
Did you ask me a question? That's my opinion.
All right, I mean, that's an opinion.
You put up, if, I'm not saying just, but if he approached me the way he was approaching those people, those patrons in that bar, I'd go ahead and, I'd cap his.
Babe, Margaret, you talking about like some kind of gangster or something.
Well, there, if, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it.
All right, look, let's back way off of that kind of talk. Now, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you, the guy looks like a slob, but I will tell you this. Whatever opinions we have, we are getting them directly from the talking heads because the average person doesn't know from this situation. We heard about a kid. He had to leave camp. He was being bullied. How do you bully a guy that's 6 foot eight and 800 pounds? How do you bully a guy like that? Well, if you're a veteran on the team and you want to, and the kid wants to make the team, obviously he's got to do stuff. And so it's some meathead run amok. Now, if there's one thing that we all know, because we've all experienced it, is being pushed around by some thick-necked ass like that. When I was in high school, especially if we went to parties on a weekend, there was always one guy at the party who was from the school football team, or he was from the school wrestling team, or he was one of these guys. And there was always this guy, I'll never forget this dude as long as I live, because I saw him at every party, trying to pick a fight with somebody, wanted to pick a fight with somebody, is always getting into it with people. And every single party, when you saw this guy at this party, was like, oh, this is going to be a bummer because there's that jackass again. He even tried to pick a fight with me. And when I was in high school, I was a string bean, man. I mean, I was a runt. And this dude is, you know, trying to anybody. And then I would see him at school kissing ass and sucking up to the teachers. I hated this guy. So the automatic reaction that I have...
What, did you go get a gun and kill... Well, you didn't kill nobody.
Did I do what?
What, bud?
Well, I'm just asking. You got bullied.
I got... At parties. I didn't get bullied on campus. At parties, this guy bullied everybody. You know, he bullied everybody at the parties. On campus, it was a different story. This guy was a... He, you know, kissed ass. He kissed ass. I played third string football. This guy was on a football team my senior year. And what a suck-up. You know, I couldn't stand this guy. But did I get a gun? No, I didn't get a gun.
What about all those kids that go out and get a gun because they're bullied?
They're getting a gun not because they're bullied. They're getting a gun because there's something wrong with them upstairs. That's why they're getting a gun. Do you understand me?
Yeah, okay.
Just stop with all of that.
So you don't think it has anything to do with it?
No, it doesn't have anything to do. All right, so... this guy Incognito is running amok, and sure, we've all been bullied, so maybe we can appreciate it from that standpoint. But man, we don't understand NFL workplace harassment, my ass. And then the headline here that I had to print this off: Miami Dolphin workplace bullying has the nation talking. I hate to break the news to you, KSDK in St. Louis, but no, it doesn't. It doesn't have the nation talking. It has you guys talking. It has the newspapers talking. It has sports radio talking. The rest of the country, we got far too much to worry about, man, than this horse dung. You understand? I mean, we got way too much to worry about than what's going on in the workplace of the Miami Dolphins. Are you serious? Throw a bunch of money at these guys and some raw meat. That's what most of us think. Now, is it right? Is it wrong? It's wrong. Should it be corrected? Yes, it should be corrected. Should we sit here and yak about it on talk radio? No.
Well, then why are you talking about it?
Because it says here that the nation's talking about it, so I thought I'd address whether the nation was talking about it or not. My feeling is it is a National Football League problem having to do with the traditional relationships between veterans and rookies. This has been a time-honored tradition of hazing rookies or hazing first- or second-year players. It could very well be that these two guys have got a situation, an issue. The team had better, you know, figure it out in case something more serious happens. Figure out what's wrong with this guy Incognito. Send this jackass in and have his head examined. That's what I think they ought to do. Hey, Rich, you want back on the team? Yes, I do, sir. Okay, I want to... put you in there for an EKG. You know what? Or an EEG. You know what that is? That's where they read your brain waves, man.
Yeah, he'd get all nervous about it.
I hope he does. I want you in, because there are doctors that can do this, and more companies ought to do this. Some of these companies, you talk about national health care. Let me explain something. Even the most ardent opponent of Obamacare, in his most private moments, unless he's completely stupid, recognizes that there are situations out there in the workplace and elsewhere where some people really need to have a head shrinker or a doctor look at their brain, because there might be something wrong with them and they may be an accident waiting to happen. We've seen too much of it to know that that it's any different. We know. We see this thing go on in Connecticut, in Newtown, with those little children. And even the most conservative people in the country finally had to wake up and say, all right, how the hell are these people getting guns? What's going on here, okay? Now, let's take a look at this Miami Dolphins situation. This guy, Incognito, maybe he's okay, maybe he's a great guy, maybe he's clowning, I don't know, but he's drawn enough attention now where what they should do with him is tell him to go to a doctor or send him to a team doctor. Put the EEG on him, read those brain waves, man, because there are doctors that can do that, and start to diagnose whether there's something seriously wrong with this jackass. And if there is, maybe he needs to be medicated. Maybe he needs to get off of some medication. maybe he needs to just calm the hell down. Whatever his problem is, they can deal with it. And they can deal with it with a lot of different people that exhibit this kind of antisocial behavior. It's not voodoo. It isn't magic. We have it within our grasp now to figure out if somebody has unusual brain activity, has unusual characteristics in terms of personality or their behavior toward others, and you can treat it. We have the ability to do that. Only a complete idiot wouldn't want to address the problem that way. And I know that we live in a country filled with complete idiots these days. I mean, all you have to do is go on Facebook and you can see per capita how many absolute abject morons we have living in this country. But the fact is, we can solve a lot of these problems.
Well, good luck, Phil, because they're not going to start just passing out the meds to anybody they suspect of being mental.
Let me ask you a question. This guy Incognito, does he look like there's something wrong with him?
Yeah, sort of, but maybe not. Maybe he's just...
Let me ask something. Didn't he force some guy from the team? Isn't there a guy that's like was considering suicide? I mean, this kid that went out, that was given time off from the team, Martin, this guy was in a pretty bad way as the result of the harassment of this clown Incognito, whose name is, like the guy said in the paper, you know, he hasn't lived up to the promise of the name. So if that's the situation, and you know what happened with the Kansas City Chiefs and other situations around the country, why not have this guy go in for whatever kind of an evaluation can be done? I think they ought to. I think they ought to do it today. I think more companies ought to do it. If it costs money, that's tough. You know, that's just too bad. Maybe you can't afford to be in the business of a professional football team, Dolphins. What do you think about that?
Well, they'll pass the cost along to the consumer. Higher ticket prices.
If the Miami Dolphins passed along to the fans the cost of the psychiatric evaluation of some of their players to make the workplace safer or at least saner, if they actually did that, they would deserve to lose every fan they've got. But it's Miami, and it's the Miami Dolphins, and that doesn't exactly equate to brain surgery, so I don't think that's going to happen. I thank you.
Boy, you really know how to piss people off, don't you?
That's me. All right, we'll be right back with the final segment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, that's weird.
It's Phil Hendry Show.
Is that B.B. King?
That's B.B. King. Anyway, welcome back to the program, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. After the show, as I mentioned, we have our show log up, and of course our podcast is available. We have our classic podcast. Bobby Dooley's podcast is just doing swimmingly. She's getting some serious action over there, so Bobby is daily, and the Dana Gould interview that she did has been posted, and that is up and ready as well. So there's a lot going on and more. And I was mentioning, and perhaps I shouldn't go public with this.
Oh, Phil, if I were you, I'd be very careful.
How do you know what I'm going to even talk about?
You're going to talk about animation.
Well, why don't you let me talk about it then and not anticipate, okay?
I think you should be...
Let me just explain something, because I have said to my audience, first of all, for those of you who have said, when's this first man, this one-man show? It's rolling out on the 26th of January at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. Do I lie to you? I may take time. I may be a little tardy. I may be a little late. But I'd never lie. So we're going to roll that out, and I hope you come to San Francisco. If you can't, I would beg, borrow, and steal. I hope you hitchhike. I hope you stow away into the wheel well of a jetliner so that when they open it up to land, you go falling. I'm kidding.
Yeah, guy, that happened to a guy one time.
I know. I know it did.
You're kidding me.
No, you didn't hear about that?
What did?
Some guy stowed away in the wheel well of a jet, and when they opened up the wheels...
He fell out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he fell out. You better believe he fell out. And I don't even know if he fell out when they opened the wheels up. He fell out, and he fell so far that when they finally found the body, it was just like a shirt and some socks.
Yeah, just black hair.
Like just his hair and a shirt and socks.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, when they found the guy, it wasn't, you know... He'd fallen from a great height. And can you imagine out being out mowing your lawn or something and that hits the street? Dude, that would be, like, scary.
Well, first of all, it would be traveling at an unbelievable... And listen to what's saying it. He would be traveling at an unbelievable rate of speed, most likely already dead.
I would hope so.
Why would you hope so?
Because I would hope that the guy was already dead before he hit the ground, man. That's a long way to fall. But, they found this guy, and that was the end of that, man.
Any chance a guy survived that?
No, bud. How could there...
Are you out of your mind, man? How the guy gonna survive something like that? If something broke his fall.
What's gonna break your fall coming out of a jetliner's wheel well?
I don't know, like a bird?
A bird? I gotta kick your ass.
Hey, watch it.
Just for sport.
A bird.
Well, a bird's what they made the jet land in the river, that one guy, Sullenberger, or whatever his name was.
Sullenberger, Mr. the captain?
Yeah.
It was a bird that got into the engine, yes. That's an enormous piece of machinery, that jet turbine. A bird ain't going to break your fall when you're coming out of the wheel well of a jet. I don't know what happened, but it was a story, and you might want to look that up online. It was a brutal story. However, what I wanted to say was, the other thing that I've talked about on this program is the animation effort that is underway, that is being engaged in by myself and my partners. Brrr. Now then.
Take it easy, Phil. You don't want to get too far ahead of people.
Now, hold on. One of the things that is a true thing in the world of entertainment is that everybody's looking for money. Everybody needs money. You need money to make a movie. You need money to make a TV show. You need money to write a script. You even need money to do a pilot. You need money, 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 money. And you got to pay people, and you got all this stuff, right? Everybody needs money, especially if what you're trying to do is get something made for the first time. And so much of the job is going around to these different places, whether it's a studio, whether it's a network, and saying, here's a thing that I have that I think is a really good idea, and this would just be fantastic, and it would look so great on your network, and here's this, and here's this, and here's this, and we just think you would love it, and it's really great. And what you're saying is basically, will you give us the money to make this show, at least in the short term, so we can at least make what they call a pilot? Well, I was thinking about it this past week, and actually last week, and I was thinking, what the hell do I want to go that? Why do I have to do that, you know?
Oh, well, get a load of money bags here.
Wait, just hold on for a second. It ain't money bags. But if I want to do something, like I want to have an animation, if I want to do an animated pilot, if I want to do an animated show as a presentation, if I want to have something and say to a network, here, this is what we have in mind, rather than go to those guys and say, please, sir, would you give me enough money so I can make a pilot and then I can show it to you and then you can decide whether you want it or not, and if you don't want it, no other network gets to look at it and it's already been turned down and this, that, and the other thing. No, I don't want to do that. I'm sick of that. What I'm going to do, what I'm thinking of doing, is we'll just go ahead and produce the damn thing ourselves.
You're talking about paying for it yourself?
Yes, pay. We have a production company. Why not?
Dad, you're kidding me, man. That'd cost $1 million.
No, it wouldn't cost that much, but it is six figures.
Yeah, it's six figures. So? You're telling me I can't, I can, and I'm not doing a Kickstarter either.
Why not, Phil? Everyone's doing it.
I'm sorry, I got nothing against Kickstarters. You guys know what Kickstarters are, right? You're the guys that are the recipients of the Kickstarter pitch. This is somebody who has an idea for a show, and they want to make it, and they don't want to go to the network. All of this stuff that we, you know, that I was just telling you, they do what's called a Kickstarter. They go out and they ask people for money. Fine, great. A lot of good people have done it. A lot of people have made money to do it, and I think it's, if you can do it that way, that's a wonderful thing. I don't want to go near it.
Why? You too good for it? Well, Phil, it makes you look like you're too good for it.
No, I'm not too good for it. I don't want to do it. Period. I don't want to have to go through that process. That's all there is to it. I'd rather just go ahead and raise the money on my own, which we basically have, and not have to mess around with that. I'm not going to do it. I'm not putting it down. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do. I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like you think it doesn't smell. Yeah, you're not doing it because you don't think it smells.
Because I don't think it smells.
You know what they're talking about.
No, I'm not doing it because I don't think it smells. I'm not doing it because I don't want to do it. I don't want to go through the process of advertising it. I don't want to go through the process of saying, hey, we have a Kickstarter, and it's going to be an animated show, and would you please give us money, and we hit our goal. You go up and down Twitter, and you look at all the Twitter feeds, and all you see half the time are Kickstarter this, Kickstarter that. Some guy's raising money for this, that, something else. No, 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 no. 1,000 times no. So instead,
you're going to roll the dice and finance this thing yourself. Well, you've got a bigger pair than me, mister. In fact, you have a pair. I don't. Bud?
Hey!
Since when are you... Get out of it. Since when are you applauding when she tells you to?
It's pretty good.
Pretty good. All right, so that's what we're going to do. And, it stands to reason. So, as I said to you, when I promise you something, it may take me a while, but we come through with flying colors. What was the other thing I promised? That we're going to have a listener party in Hawaii. We're going to have a BSP party in Hawaii. I don't know when, but we are. And it will be a party for our Backstage Pass members, and it will be something that will be epic. It will be record-breaking. People will be... They'll be finding bodies for months afterwards. I can guarantee you that. So... Stick around for that, man. But we'll keep you updated on all of this stuff. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. You have fallen upon good times, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to a radio show that's about the entertainment of the audience, not lording it over the audience, telling the audience where to get off, how to do it, what to think, how to vote, how to be, how to feel. This is not a show that's about the doom and the gloom. This is not a show about the rise and the fall. This is a show just about the rise.
Yeah, the rise of what?
Three guesses. Speaking of that, three... speaking of that, Margaret, Saturday night at the Kangaroo in Fontana, where she'll do the song My Bow-Legged Gal Sal.